This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And what a cause for rejoicing to have this opportunity once again to meet together for worship. So welcome to the worship of Peace Church. We pray that the Lord will be honored in all that is about to be said and done and even thought. Before we begin, I guess we'll review a few announcements here prior to starting the service proper. As you note, I'm not James, so he and Carrie have been in Alabama, for those of you who weren't aware, speaking at a conference to grandparents oriented around the importance of prayer, at least in terms of James' presentation. Understand that the conference went very well, that he was well received, and we pray that certainly in the aftermath of that, that many will have been blessed. And so we do pray for traveling mercies for them as they return. I want to pray that for Bob and Pam as well, as they will be returning home tomorrow after a couple of weeks in Florida with family down there. I guess I'll just review a few things here. Would refer you to the announcements for any details that I don't touch on. See, James still has the notice posted here about the possibility of organizing a yard sale here at Peace. And so if that's something that you'd like to participate in, why, please get in touch with him. Registration is now open for summer camp for middle and high school students down at Port City Church in Wilmington. So if you have interest in that or questions about it, Carrie is the individual to see, and I'm sure she can give you guidance on that. Our scripture reading plans, if you haven't had an opportunity to get a copy of that, are still available, as are the roster of membership out in the lobby there. I just want to mention, we just concluded a really good study on the book of Job in Sunday school this morning. And if you didn't have an opportunity to participate in that, I would certainly encourage you to check that out on Right Now Media. And not only that particular study, there's a wealth of good and edifying information available there on Right Now Media. So if you hadn't had an opportunity to check it out, why, please do so. There are many things that would serve there as a blessing as we seek to grow in our understanding of God's Word. Next Sunday, the annual, or I should say monthly, meal will follow worship, so be sure to remember that as we gather together for worship next week. No, if we have anything else here that I necessarily need to go over, as I say, I will refer you to that. Thank you. I do have one addition that's not in the bulletin at all. You'll note that Lynn is not here. We need to be praying for Lynn. She's begun treatments again, and you know, she's going into it somewhat weakened anyway. So let's pray for Lynn even as we speak. For we do lift our sister Lynn up and pray that you would strengthen her in every sense of the word for the initiation of treatments again for her. We're so thankful, Father, for her faithfulness and for her testimony of her trust in you. And we pray that trust would only be strengthened even through the treatments that lie before her. Use those, Heavenly Father, to build her up and heal her to the greatest degree imaginable. For we ask it in Jesus' name. I'll return to some of the prayers after I conclude this announcement that she sent along. I'll just read literally here. We are in need of volunteers to take over putting up the seasonal bulletin materials in the elementary Sunday school classroom. So if you're interested in helping with that, please contact Lynn at 919-309-9528. She has all the materials needed, and I know her number is in the directory as well for those of you who would be interested in talking to her about giving her a hand with that. Is there anything else that I haven't touched on that should be at this point? I know Ken has a final parting announcement here before we move into worship. This being the last Lord's Day of the month, our tradition is to celebrate the birthdays of that month in the congregation. I see in February we have Jeff Evanson, Joy Nicole, Carrie Banks, Rick Soles, Alan Thomas, and Lynn Hunter. So, with that in mind, if Paige, if you would lead us. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Joy, Carrie, Rick, Alan, Lynn. Happy birthday to you. Yes, indeed. Happy birthday to you all and the Lord's continued blessings in each one of your lives. With that behind us, I would like to begin the service proper by opening the call to worship taken from Psalm 100, where we read, "Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that he is Lord. He is God. It is he who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations." Amen. With that in mind, I want to open the floor for praises that you might have this morning that we can give the Lord thanks for. One of the things that was brought out in our recent Sunday school lesson was the idea of the worthiness of the Lord to receive our praise in all things and all occasions. So here's our opportunity, folks. What do you have to praise him for this week? Yeah, Joy. Good.
Thank you all for your wonderful hospitality.
All right. Lord, thank you for granting Joy's parents safe travels. And we pray for the work that they are about, even as they seek to serve the Lord. We are thankful to know that wherever the opportunity might be presented, you are present with your people. So bless those labors to the edifying of those that they minister to, and most of all, to the glory of your great name. Anything else? Nancy?
I want to thank God for the snow. I'm still a kid at
Indeed, Lord, we do thank you for the changing of the seasons, even as it speaks to your care and your concern, your love for your creation and for us as your people. So we give you all the praise and all the thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Bev.
It's astounding. So anyway, we're continue to be grateful for that and his good attitude.
Yeah.
So really grateful.
Great. Lord, we do praise you as the great physician and for the provision that you've made for Ed, even over these past couple of weeks. We pray for him that he would look to you, even in the midst of difficulties and trials such as this, as you demonstrate your faithfulness to your people. And we pray that for Bev and the family, as they love and care for him, that you would encourage and strengthen them as well. Whether the need is of body or spirit or any other aspect of this life, we know that you are faithful at every turn. And so we give you all the praise in Christ's name. Sherry, do I see a hand up there? Oh, we certainly echo Sherry's praises. You are a faithful father in every sense of the word. So help us to acknowledge that, not only during this hour of worship, but during this new week that you have given to us. We pray in Jesus' name. Anything else?
We can have continuity. I pray God for you being able to take over the leadership of the church and the introductions and everything. I pray God for our worship team, for Paige and Jarek, and the, just that we can go on with continuity, even though James is not here.
Well, We take great comfort in the knowledge that he's not only established his church, but continues to preserve it and encourage it, regardless of who he might use as the instruments to do that. So thank you, Lord, for all that. If we don't have anything further, I guess we will go ahead and move into our first selection for this morning. If you would stand as we unite our hearts and our voices in song. Thank you.
I believe in Christ the Son. I believe in the Holy Spirit. Our God is three in one. I believe in the resurrection, that we will rise again. For I believe in the name of Jesus.
Seated. Before I give Dennis the podium, I did want to pray for a few of the needs in the congregation. We certainly have offered our praise, and we're also commanded to bring our requests before the throne of grace. And so I would like to do that for just a moment before we move on to Dennis's message for this morning. Prayed for traveling mercies for the Dodsons and for James and Carrie. As I think of Pam, reminded of those who are grieving the loss of loved ones, even at this very time. Think of Pam and Bob, of Mary Lou and Brian. The Gray family. And anyone else that may be slipping my mind right at this moment. Lord, be a comfort and an encouragement to those who in need are sorrowed over the loss of loved ones. But we are so thankful to know that in the case of all these individuals that are missed by family and loved ones, that their departure was to be with you. And so we pray that would be a great comfort for each and every heart that mourns the loss of those who are dear to them. For we know that they are dear to you as well. And as all those affected by death in that manner, we pray that you would encourage and give them hope, not only that they will see their loved ones again, but even more importantly, they will stand before you for all eternity. So we give you all the praise and thanksgiving for that. For those who continue to struggle with various trials and tests in a physical sense, we're thankful for his mercies to Ed and to Bev's family. We continue to uphold Neil and Lynn, as we've already made mention. Ken, you know, is struggling with some physical difficulties at the moment. We ask for Lord for your mercies in each one of these situations. Grant strength and grant healing according to your perfect purpose. And we pray that as that healing is offered, that it would be but another occasion for voices to be lifted up in praise and thanksgiving to you. Certainly want to include Jim and Jill in that regard as well. There may be various other individuals and situations that I'm forgetting at the moment or I'm not even aware of, but we're thankful to know that God, as a sovereign God, is quite aware of every need, of every circumstance. And so we pray for his mercies, whatever the need may be, healing of spirit, healing of body. Be pleased, Father, to show your power in ways that we so often cannot even imagine. And in your perfect timing, accomplish your will and your good pleasure in the lives of each one of your sons and daughters, that you would be honored and glorified in all that. For we ask all these things in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. And so, at this point, I will turn things over to Dennis. And
well, good morning, everyone. I want to thank you for being here with us this morning. Probably should start by saying, be in fear, be in great fear, because the second string is here. I chose for a scripture verse this morning from John chapter 14, verses 8 and 9. And in that verse, Jesus is addressing his disciple, Philip. Philip said to Jesus, "Show us the Father." And Jesus' response is, "Have I been with you so long, Philip, that still you don't know me?" I think God might have the same question for us this morning. I want to speak to you about having a proper view of God. And by proper, I mean a balanced view. And I say this to you this morning because I think we have experienced in our lives, I'm sure I'm not the only one who has experienced in our lives kind of a roller coaster Christianity, if you will. And I'll explain what I mean in a minute. But we're not the only ones. It started way back with the Jews. And we're going to talk about that this morning. As a way of introduction to my message, I have asked Paige if she would sing a solo song for us. And the name of the song, the title of the song is El Shaddai, which is one of the titles of God, one of the names of God. As she sings this morning, please pay attention, close attention, to the words as she sings them. Ponder them as she sings them, because I'm going to be referring to a couple of these things, stanzas, these phrases that occur in the song. And this is kind of a backdoor way of getting to the core of my message, but I hope it will make sense to you before it's all over. If not, you can string me up from the highest yardarm. So, Paige, if you would, please. I want to clarify a couple of terms for you before we start. The name El Shaddai means God Almighty. Sometimes it's interpreted to be the all-knowing God. El Elyon is the most high God. And Erekim Kana Adonai simply means, I will praise you, Lord. As I said, and as I'm going to refer to some lines in this song in just a moment, sometimes I think we don't have a proper view of God, a balanced view of God, and that lends itself to problems because we don't understand God in a way that we should, in a way that God wants us to. The Jews had this problem too, and the song alludes to that. And that proper view makes all the difference in the world in how we live our Christian life. We can live it as a bumpy road, or we can live it as a straight and narrow pathway to serve the Lord our God. So what am I talking about here? One of the phrases in the song is, though the people could not see what Messiah ought to be. What does that mean? What's behind that? Well, it's simply this. The Jews, when they thought of Messiah, their idea of Messiah was to have a warrior king, someone like David, someone who would deliver them from the power and the oppression of Rome. And so their desire and they're looking forward to this warrior king who's going to come and deliver them. But God had another idea. God didn't want to just deliver them from Rome. He wanted to deliver them from the real oppressor, from Satan himself, from the oppressor of their souls. And so instead of a warrior king, he sent the Savior. But they couldn't see it because they didn't understand God. They didn't understand that God had a bigger plan than what they could imagine. And that leads to the second thing I wanted to address here, because it lends itself again to this understanding of God, a complete understanding, not just what we imagine or what we think God should do, God should be, or what God is doing. And it said, the phrase says, though your word contained the plan, they just couldn't understand. Well, wait a minute. The word contained the plan. How did the word, now we're talking about the word being the Old Testament here. This is the time of Jesus. The only Bible they had was the Old Testament. But what was the plan contained in the Old Testament? You remember when Adam and Eve fell into sin in the Garden of Eden. And way back in Genesis chapter 3, God addresses the situation and he turns and he's talking to Satan and he says, I will put enmity between the seed of woman and you. And the seed of the woman shall crush your head, and you shall bruise his heel. This is a reference to Jesus. But let's look at this for a minute. He said the seed of the woman. Now we pretty much understand today that the seed of the woman is a reference to man. Woman gives birth to man and woman. But in this case, he's talking about a man because he says he will crush your head and you will bruise his heel. Well, now wait a minute. I'm a man. I'm the seed of a woman. We have men in here, women in here who are the seed of a woman. But do I have power to crush the head of Satan? No. Well, there's only one who has the power to crush Satan. And who is that? It's God. So what did this mean? It meant that the Savior who would come would have to be both man and God. Folks, when Jesus came and was walking the land of Israel and introducing himself to people of Israel and his disciples, who did he declare himself to be? The Son of God and the Son of Man. They should have known, as Jesus introduced himself, they should have known, this is the one, he is the one, he's the Messiah, he is the one that the scripture was talking about. But they couldn't get it. Why? Because he didn't fit the profile they thought the Messiah should be. Now, where is all this going? Well, it's simply going here, folks. I think that you and I have problems in our Christian life today because we have an image of God. We have an expectation of God in what we think God should be, what he should do, how he should behave, and how he should act. And when God doesn't do as we think he should, we get upset. Let me give you an example. Have you ever had the experience of maybe, oh, you know, we talk about God as being Jehovah Jireh, the God who heals. We know this. We believe this about God. He's the God who heals. So when we have sickness in our lives or our family members have sickness in our lives and we pray, we're praying, God the healer, Jehovah Jireh. And we're looking for God to move in that way in our lives. And when he does, what's happening? He heals us or he heals that person we're praying for. And yes! Thank you, God. Praise God. We knew you'd come through for us. But what about the times God doesn't heal? What happens? Generally, we tend to get depressed, don't we? Now, I don't know, did I not pray hard enough? Maybe God doesn't love me. Maybe he just doesn't care. Well, folks, I want to pause here for just a minute, and I want to drive home a point to you that if you will keep this in the back of your mind at all times, it's going to make a difference in your life and in my life on how we react to the times that God doesn't move in the way we think he should. And it's based on God. When he acts in our lives, he is basing his action on two principles that we need to remember. Two principles. Number one, God's unfailing, unmatched unimaginable love for us. Everything God does in our lives is based on his love for us. And the other element is God's plan and purpose for our lives. If we will keep these things in mind, we will understand that even if things don't go the way we expect it to go, it's not because God doesn't love us. That's not so. God loves us so much, he points to the cross, to the battered body of his son Jesus, and says, "This is how much I love you. And I didn't send Jesus into the world and to die on the cross so I could just cast you off. I did it with the motivation of my love for you because I want you to be with me forever. And that happens through the sacrifice of Jesus, my son." But then remember what he also said in Jeremiah, that he has a plan. He says, "I know the plan I have for you. Not to harm you. Not to harm you. But he's got a plan for our lives. And he wants to fulfill that plan." And sometimes, folks, sometimes God does things that are contrary to the way that we think he should behave, the way that he thinks he should move, because he's got a plan for our life, and maybe it's something different than what we think. Now, I'm going to give you a couple examples here of what I'm talking about. But if we will, folks, I know I'm not the best preacher, but if we can try our best to get our arms around what I'm telling you this morning, I tell you it's going to make a difference in your life. When God doesn't perform in our lives as Jehovah Jireh, and this is just one facet I'm talking about here. God has many names, and each one is a different facet of his power, of his character. And I could address many, but I want to concentrate on a few because of time this morning. But when God doesn't move in our life as Jehovah Jireh and heal and do this and do that as we expect him to, folks, did it ever occur to you that not only is he Jehovah Jireh, but he is also El Shaddai. He is also El Elyon. He's the Most High God. And what does that mean? That means God is higher than we could ever imagine. And because he's higher, he sees things, he knows things as El Shaddai that we don't know. And because he is El Elyon, the Most High God, by the way, has he ever introduced us to himself as El Elyon? Has he? Well, think about this. What did God say? "My ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. My thoughts are much higher." God operates on a higher plane. God's thoughts are on such a high plane because he knows all things. He sees all things. We see things in this part of eternity. God sees it from the beginning to the end and understands all things far better than we ever could. So what I'm saying to you this morning is that, yes, he is Jehovah Jireh, but he's also El Elyon. He's also El Shaddai and many other things. And did it ever occur to us that when he doesn't heal or behave or do the things that we expect him to do as in our interpretation of how God should act, that maybe he's acting as El Elyon. Maybe God's got a different plan. Maybe God truly intends to heal, but he's going to do it in a different way. Or maybe he's going to do it in a different time. Now, we all know that sometimes God doesn't heal. But has it ever occurred to us that maybe God allows us to suffer, but by trusting him through it all, God is using us to be a testimony to someone else? God has a different plan. God has a purpose for our life, and our purposes we don't always understand or know. But it doesn't mean that God doesn't love us. It doesn't mean that God doesn't care about our situation. He's operating on a different scale. And it's our it's our duty to trust him through it, knowing that he loves us and he cares about us, got a plan for our life. If we will just get a grip on this, folks, we can stop the roller coaster thing of, oh, praise God here, oh, God doesn't care for me here. Because God does everything on the basis of his love for us and his plan, his purposes for our life. And let me give you a couple of examples. We're all familiar with the life of Joseph, are we not? Here was Joseph. Kind of an arrogant kid at home, but he goes to visit his brothers and ends up getting tossed down a well, ends up being sold to slavery in Egypt. In Egypt, he goes to work for Potiphar, but he is accused falsely of dealing with Potiphar's wife, ends up in prison, languishes in prison a couple of years. Now, anywhere along there, Joseph could have said, God, why? Why are you letting this happen to me? I don't understand all this. Don't you love me, Lord? Joseph doesn't say that. Now, that's not to say that Joseph said, oh, I know what's going on. I know God is doing this. No. But we can look back and we can see that God allowed these things to happen to Joseph because he had a whole plan for Joseph's life. And allowing Joseph to go through these things was preparing him for a role that God wanted him to play later. Joseph didn't know that. But I think that Joseph knew enough about God to say, regardless of what I'm going through, I know I can trust you. And that's what's going to happen. I'm just, even though I don't understand, I'm going to trust you. And we all know what the end of that was. We were just talking about Job this morning and all that Job went through. But in the end, God blessed him. Job had a plan. I mean, God had a plan through all that Job was going through. Job didn't know that. Job's testimony was, God, I don't understand. Maybe it would be better if I was never born. And God had to hold him up, say, hey, you don't know as much about me as you think you do. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? And many other questions that he laid out for Job, just to show Job, look, Job, you think you have an idea of who I am, but you really don't. I'm much greater than what you can even imagine. And so it is for us, folks. If we will get a handle, or at least attempt to get a handle, on the idea that our God who loves us, our God who sent Jesus to the cross for us, and Jesus, our God, has done so much for us out of his love for us, but he's so much greater. God's not limited in what he can do or how he does it. And the more we come to grips with that and understand that, it's going to make our Christian life a much easier walk. Because we know this is not God punishing me. This is God moving in my life, but he's moving on a different plane. He's moving in a different way than I actually understand. But I know that I can trust him. Even though I don't understand it, I'm going to trust him. Look at Jesus. Jesus questioned to Philip, Philip, have I been with you so long that you still don't know me? Well, what was it about that? Philip was a disciple, and he was with Jesus. He saw Jesus change water into wine, something only God could do. He witnessed Jesus as he calmed the raging waters of the sea, something only God could do. He saw these things, and yet he still didn't put two and two together. Jesus even said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So when Philip said to Jesus, show us the Father, it's like, really, Philip? You still don't get it? And folks, I have to tell you, because I see it in my own life, I feel there's times that God is standing over me saying, Dennis, you still don't have a clue. I've tried to show you. I've tried to tell you. There's examples in the Word, and you're still not getting it. God wants us, folks, God wants us to know him intimately. He doesn't want to be a mystery to us. But what he wants us to know about him is that he is indeed Almighty God. And because he is, he can do things in ways we can't imagine. He has thoughts about us we could never even fathom. And he operates on such a high plane, we have no clue. But through it all, he wants us to trust him. Trust him. Trust him. When you think about the song that Paige just sang, you turn the sea into dry land. To the outcast on her knees, you are the God who really sees. Who is they talking about there? They're talking about Hagar. If you remember, Hagar was cast out of Abraham's camp, out of his tent. And she ended up in the desert, and she didn't know how or where she was going to go, how she would provide for herself, and God met her there. And she called him El Roy, which means the God who sees. By the way, just as a side note, she did not give him the name of El Roy. God already was El Roy from eternity past. She just discovered him there as El Roy, as he met her and met her need. Folks, what I'm saying to you this morning, and the reason I asked Paige to sing this, one of the ways we can have a more balanced view of God is by knowing the names of God. I want to encourage you all this morning to take time, buy a book, get online, but start familiarizing yourself with the names of God and what each of those names employs, how it relates to God and how that works in our life. What, for instance, let me just toss this out to you. One of the names for Jesus is Wonderful Counselor. Counselor. Has it ever occurred to you that when you're praying, instead of saying, "Oh dear Jesus, Lord Jesus, you are Wonderful Counselor. Lord, I'm going through this problem right now that I don't understand. I'm asking you, would you please guide me? Would you work in my life and help me to understand and help me to navigate through this problem?" What about this? One of the names for the Holy Spirit is the Comforter. Has it ever occurred to you, maybe when you've experienced the loss of a loved one, maybe go and say, "Holy Spirit, you are the great Comforter, and I am in need of your comfort right now." See, this is what I'm saying. If we know the names of God, it helps us to focus and to know how we can appeal to God. I don't know, folks. It amazes me sometimes that we can look at Scripture and we can see how the Jews have behaved and we can say, "What was wrong with them? Why didn't they understand?" And yet today, folks, if we're honest with ourselves, we pretty much behave the same way. We get in this mindset that our image and our projection of God and who He is and what He is should behave in a certain way for us. And if He doesn't, oh, it's all disappointing. How many people do you know and I know who have said they're not following God anymore because God was a big disappointment? It's all in our perception, folks. I'm telling you this morning, it's all in our perception. We have an unbalanced view of God. And that unbalanced view is we expect God, we put Him in this box and we expect Him to behave in a certain way. God is so much greater, folks, than we could ever imagine. And because He is God and because He is greater, He has the ability to do things we can't even perceive. And He wants to do so much. I believe God would do mighty things in our lives if we'd only trust Him and allow Him to be God according to who He is, not our perceived image of who He should be. And that's my message this morning, folks. To have a balanced view of the God who loves us so much we can't even imagine how much He loves us, how much He cares about us, and what He wants to do, and the plans He has for our life. Would you bow with me, please? Father God, thank You. Thank You that You are indeed God and You are greater than I could even imagine. Lord, help me to have a better, more balanced view of You and to trust You enough to let You be God in my life. Because I don't want to be a disappointment to You, Lord. I don't want to miss those those events, those things that you have planned for my life simply because I don't understand, or I think that you don't conform to what I think you should be. I don't want to miss anything that you have for me, Lord. I'm asking you this today, have your way in my heart, but Lord, give me a better understanding, a better view of you. Help me to learn your names. And help me to pray according to those names. And to think of you in each of those capacities. Lord, I thank you for who you are. I thank you for Jesus and his sacrifice for us. While our heads are bowed, maybe God is trying to be Savior to you, but you're resisting him because you don't think that you can conform. Or the way Jesus wants us to come to him, we just don't want to do that right now. This morning I'm asking, would you just let Jesus be God in your life? Let him save you and be the God to you that he desires to be, and make of your life all that he desires it to be. Think of that this morning. Right where you are, you can make that decision to give your heart and your life to God. Amen.
Thank you. said, Lord, thank